Well, turn with me in your scriptures to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're continuing our series. If you're new with us today, we're continuing our series called God With Us, which we just read, Emmanuel, God With Us. And so we're going through here. Last week, we talked about valleys. And we talked about how if we've been in a valley is a lot of times when you're alone and when you're scared. And we talked about, if you remember from last week, we talked about in the valleys. When you're in the valley, what do you have to do? You got to look up to the mountain. And we talked about our scripture last week in Psalms where it said that our strength is found in God, and may our hearts be a highway to Zion, it said. And that meant, is our heart and mind focused on God, of where he's taken us? A lot of times in the valley, we talked about last week, we want to look down, but we have to look up in the valley, make sure that our heart and mind is fixated and focused on God and what he's doing. So that was last week. But today, we're going to talk about a different area of our life. But I want to just start off with our scripture passage here. There it goes. Our scripture passage for this whole series is Matthew 1:21 and 23. And we just read it. For she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Amen. And this will take place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what we're talking about. This entire series is God with us. How many of you today, we know we need Jesus with us. We need him with us. Come on, we need him. But today I want to talk to us about the wilderness. The wilderness. Last week was valleys. This week we're talking about wilderness. Next week we'll talk about the storms of life and how is God with us in the storms of life. But the wilderness, what is a wilderness? Have you ever been in a wilderness in your life before? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Wilderness is defined as a trials or a hardship or a wandering is what the wilderness is typically defined as. And today in 1 Kings 19, we're going to look at the wilderness here. But in the wilderness, we always ask ourselves, what do we do next? Have you been there? You've been in the wilderness? You're like, where do I go? The people of Israel, the Israelites, were like, Moses, how do we get out of here? How do we get through this forsaken land and get to the land of milk and honey? Right? They were in a hardship. But many of us have been in hardships too. We've been there where we haven't had money for rent, or we lost our job, or we got sick, or the car broke down, the roof sprang a leak, and you're like, what do you do? You're like, oh, it's a hardship. It's another trial. You're like, when will I ever be through some of these things? A lot of times our wildernesses often follow the mountaintops. You ever been there in a spiritual high or life is going great? And then all of a sudden, it's like that roller coaster. You go over the top of the roller coaster, you're like, oh, hold on, Jesus, here it goes. Right? Now, we know that our God is a loving father. He doesn't do that just to be, he's not some mean, you know, sick, vindictive God that does that. Oh, I'm going to put you through some horrible times. It's just life we have to deal with. We know this. In a world that's full of sin and depravity, we go through these hardships. Just like Jesus, he was on the mountaintop, he was sent out to the wilderness to be tempted and to refute the Satan with the scripture of God. Elijah, which we're going to look at, 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to look at Elijah in the classic story where he flees before Jezebel and King Ahab. If you know the story, you know, man, Elijah was on high. I mean, he was having a great prophet day. I mean, he was just killing it. And his vocational job is being a prophet for the Most High God. But I want to start us off with this thought. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. Your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. And we're going to look here just briefly at Elijah's life and the situation, the story of what happened in his life that drove him into the wilderness, but it drove him to hear the small, gentle whisper of God in his life. And how many of you today, we need to know that small whisper of God in our life, to know that God is with us. When we're going through the wilderness, we need to remember and know his voice is there with us. So let's look at the word of God here. 1 Kings 19, it's going to be on your screen. We're going to start with verse 3. And it says, then he was afraid, this is Elijah, and he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. All right, so let's break this down here. So Mount Carmel to Beersheba is 110 miles away. So the Bible doesn't say how long it took him, but he got there pretty quick. So think about running, walking. I mean, he didn't call Uber. He didn't have a nice car. He had a run or walk. We're pretty sure he didn't have a horse. Historians don't think he had a horse. I mean, he ran 100 miles to get away from his problem into the wilderness. He ran. Now, how many of you have had just about enough of someone in your life? Or a teenager, or your kids, you had just about enough. And you wanted to leave the home or get out away from her. Or what if you had a boss that was passive aggressive or negative and you just were like, I just want to get away from my boss or my work environment. Or maybe financially, you know, like we said, the car breaks, the roof leaks, something happens. You're like, I just want to get away from this issue that's in my life right now. Or here's the big one, if you're a parent or, you know, you make dinner or you have guests over, you make this elaborate dinner and everybody just leaves the table and leaves the dishes and the mess everywhere, right? You're like, I just about had enough of people not cleaning up after themselves. You can handle a lot of things, but we all have that one thing that pushes us over. Just like Elijah. Elijah had just seen the massive defeat of the prophets of Baal. The fire come down. He's seen all this. But a lady got mad at him. And he had just about enough of a lady. And that sent him over the top, and he ran 100 miles to get away from this lady. Think about this. I mean, he stood down the evil King Ahab. He saw God's provision. He saw God heal people from the dead. He saw the sun stand still. He saw the ability to call rain and to stop rain. I mean, Elijah was the prophet. I mean, this guy was, I mean, he was batting a thousand percentage points. He was awesome. But a little queen got mad at him, and he just had enough, and it sent him off that. How many of us have seen God do mighty things in our life, but one little thing comes against us, and we flee. We put our hands up and run like, oh, the sky is falling. And God's, where are you at, God? Where are you at? This is what happened in Elijah, where he was at. And so he ran. He ran. And he was tired. We know the next part. Let's look at the next portion of the scripture here in verse 5 here. It'll be on your screen. And it says, he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. This speaks to a tiredness in his life. And if you've heard the story of the story, you know Elijah was running at 100%, and then he reached the end of his little battery. His battery life died. And just when the queen chastised him and said, I'm going to come kill you tomorrow, you're going to be dead, it was enough to send him over the point of believing. And so now he's just tired. How many of us today, we know that physical rest goes hand in hand with spiritual replenishment. It ties in the life of the believer. A lot of times when we're physically depleted, we often feel spiritually depleted. But we know when we have rest, we eat right, we drink, we get around the body, we come to church, we worship, we study God's word. Boy, we feel that robustness in our life. Elijah was at a point where he was just worn down. Psalms 23, the famous psalm, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, what's interesting about this passage, it doesn't say he makes me run through the pastures and run through the valleys so that I'm refreshed. He makes you what? Stop and lie down, take a drink, have some food and rest, and he restores our soul. God comes to Elijah here, and he doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't give him a 4-point sermon. He doesn't give him a book and say, hey, read this book on positivity and how to get better. He says, hey, eat some hot bread, have a glass of water, and sleep and be replenished. God tells him to eat and to rest. Eat and to rest. How many of us, though, we think, oh, God, we know better. God, I know better. I've got to get busy. I got to make a game plan, a business plan. I got to do this and that. I got to talk to this my mentoring coach over here to help me figure this out. When God says, hey, eat and rest and spend time with me. He laid down, he ate, and he drank, and he slept. The most spiritual thing you could do right now is rest in your life. Now, that sounds counter-cultural, intuitive to the American mindset, the West, where we're like, pull ourselves up, get her done, make a plan, go work hard, figure this thing out on your own. But what did God tell Elijah? To rest. And that was very spiritual in a sense, because we all know from the back end of the story, you've read the book, Elijah comes back up, he goes and anoints new kings, and God's like, hey, I've saved thousands of people in Jerusalem that have not bowed their knee to Baal. He goes, man, stand up, let's go. But hey, he had to rest. So last week we talked about being still and knowing God and about digging a well. Remember last week we talked about digging a well? And you've never seen anybody dig a well that's running a marathon. To dig a well, you have to stop and dig and focus and create a place for that water to come and pull to. If you want to be replenishing God, you've got to take time to slow down and to be able to, God to be able to come to you and talk to you, convict you, rebuke you, teach you. But if you're always running, if you're always running and never stopping, he can't do that. Look at verse 7 through 10 here. The story continues on. It's very interesting. He says, and the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for your journey is too great for you. And he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even only I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. In this passage at the beginning, the angel says, hold on, hit the snooze button one more time, buddy. It's okay, sleep in, eat some more, drink some water, lay down in some rest. We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God who says, hey, when we get back up in our own strength and think, oh, I'm going to take over now, God, thanks. You told me to rest now. I'm going to put this on my shoulders. He says, hold on, little guy, little girl. Take another rest. Slow down. Slow your roll. I've got this. Lean on me. Trust in me. It's your strength in me. Once again, physically, Elijah had to be replenished again. But this is all we can extrapolate this out to our spiritual lives. When maybe we're not ready to run yet, or maybe to go with what God's given us yet, we need to still rest and be refreshed. Elijah didn't get it the first time, but God came back and was gracious with him and said, hey, slow down, buddy. Take a rest. Stay in this cave and just relax. Look at the second part of this verse. God asks him, he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Have you ever had God speak to that? Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you? You get someone in your life, and the Holy Spirit says, I've been there. The Holy Spirit saying, Dan, what are you doing here? What? You're down this path way off over here. What are you doing here? How many of you have been there? God loves us enough to confront us, to rebuke us, to say, hey, I mean, Elijah of all people, I mean, Elijah's and the Pauls and the Peters, I mean, these guys saw God do things, amazing things. Well, surely God wouldn't rebuke them. Surely they would know the voice of the Lord in their life. Surely they wouldn't go off path. But God here says, what are you doing there? Have you been there? You've asked yourself, what am I doing here in this place? What good is this thing doing in my life? Do you ever lie awake at night? You're like, man, God, why am I here? Where is this train going? This is what God's saying to Elijah. He's saying, hey, buddy, what are you doing here? And then what happens in verse 10? Look at verse 10 again. Here, I'm going to highlight it. Elijah says, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now, we don't know how he said this. We wish we could have the instant replay, the Instagram social, this. But I can only imagine that Elijah wasn't happy and all. He was like, I'm the only one that's left. I'm the only one. God, I've been serving you faithfully through all the muck and the mire and all. God, I just serve you, and I'm the only one left. And I mean, we can only know what God's probably sitting there like, hey, angel, this is pretty funny. I mean, this guy thinks he's the only one left in Jerusalem. And he has this almost like depression and desperation in this. And what does he do next? He meets Elijah's need. He meets his need. He comes to him. And what does he do? His deepest need, his desperate need, becomes a gift to Elijah. Elisha wanted to know what? That the God of Israel was still with him. The God of Israel was still for him. The God that he gave his life to, that he dedicated his fortune, his life. The God that he said, God, I'll go anywhere and confront the prophets of Baal, confront the evil King Ahab and Jezebel. He wanted to be reassured that God was close to him. That God hadn't forsaken him, hadn't left him out to dry. That was his need in this desperation. He's by himself. He needs to know, God, are you still with me here? Look at verse 11 and 12. It's a familiar passage. And this is God. He said to him, he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. The NIV might say, the King James, a gentle whisper. Here is the God, all powerful, But he wasn't in the earth, wind, or fire. Wasn't any of it. And not in the band either, earth, wind, and fire either. Well, God wasn't in either one of them. But he was in the low whisper. Elijah, his greatest need was to know that God was with him. He was close. He was there still speaking to him. Have you ever been there? You get to a point and you say, God, did I even hear you? God, do I even know you? Did I step out of where you wanted me to go? God, did I get off of my own track? You know, did I eat some bad pizza last night and I ended up just thinking, oh, I need to do this and go the other way? Elijah, even though he was a mighty man of God, needed to be reminded that Emmanuel, God with us. He needed to be reminded of this. God wasn't in the remarkable, as we would think. How many of you, I want that. God, I want you to show up mightily. Woo! But he's in the ordinary. In the day-to-day, he's always there with us, speaking. God was in this whisper. He was in the small, still voice to comfort Elijah and remember that I'm with you. I've made you by name. You may be overcome by stress, anxiety. Maybe this time of the year brings bad family memories to you. Maybe you feel in a desperate place. Maybe you feel like, man, Pastor Dan, I don't have family. Or maybe I'm in a family. I'm the family of God here, but I don't belong. I don't know. Maybe whatever you're feeling. God wants to take that desperation. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. And so my question is this. Why does he whisper? He whispers because he is always close. He's always close. How many of you know, as a child, if you're a parent, you have kids, you know, the kids will be in the other bedroom and the lightning strikes. Or the sirens go off for a bad storm. And the kids come running to you thinking like, what? They think that you've left a building. I don't know. You ever had that? I remember one time I was on a camping trip with my dad and we were out in the woods and at the state park and the sirens went off. And I remember we were in our tent. I woke up in the pitch black. I thought my father had left me. I thought he was gone. I don't know why. I was 7 years old, but we're all been 7 year olds thinking, you know, you're all by yourself. And all I remember is my dad was a big, burly man. His big hand reached over and just said, hey, Danny, I'm here. You're good. Just go back to sleep. It's okay. And all I remember, next thing I remember, it's daylight waking up. Next thing I go, wow, I remember as a little boy, we were at a Royal Ranger camp out at the state park, and the tornado came by through the state park, and there was trees down and buildings were destroyed. And I'm just thinking, whoa. But all I remember that my dad was close to me, and his hand was with me. And so why does he whisper? He wants to remind us that he's always close. How many times do we think that God's so far off that we have to go out with like this cosmic spiritual fishing line? God, I got to find you out here. God, I don't know where you're at. I'm going to throw out some bait. Maybe you're over here. Maybe if I do really well, you're over here. But all the whole time, he's right there next to us. We think we have to shout and to look, but all we have to do is be still, dig a well, and listen for his voice in our life. And when we're in these wilderness times, the devil shouts, but God whispers the truth. Right? He shouts what? I'm with you. I've known you by name. I will not forsake you. Greater is he that is with you than he's in the world. There's all these promises of Scripture which you could all probably quote back. But do we believe him? As the word we were shared with today after the end of service, we know some of this word, but do we believe it? And do we actively listen for the whispers of our Heavenly Father in our life? Psalms 34:18 says this. It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Now, what's interesting in this verse is this. It doesn't say the Lord is far off from the brokenhearted, or the Lord is far off and the brokenhearted have to go search and go on this massive, epic journey. It says the Lord is near. And in the Hebrew, this nearness isn't, oh, hey, Dan, I'm over here, you know. Hey, Dan, oh, man, you're brokenhearted. Oh, boy, I'm going to stand over here and do my thing as God the Father. This nearness in the Hebrew means this. It's right here. It's right here. It's touching. It's close. He's with the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Last week, we ended with this verse, Psalms 139, and I hope you get this in your soul. Listen to this verse again. King David writes, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that's the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. In Hebrew, the right hand was the hand of safety, of comfort, of protection. That's why in the Middle East, a lot of times, the right hand, as you know, the right hand is used for business deals and nothing else. Everything else, you'd use your left hand for anything else, touching dead things, restroom, using the restroom, all that. But that's the symbolic, was the right hand was the holy, protecting hand. And this is right here. Think about this. Wherever you can go, God is right there with you. But do we treat this as a flippant verse? Do we live it out in a way that we're like, oh yeah, it says that, but God, I'm out here. I got to find you. I got to fish for you. I don't know if you're with me, God, in this wilderness. I'm having a hard time again. I don't know. Oh, woe is me. I'm the only one. Do we act like that in practicality, or do we live in a sense of, God, I'm in the wilderness, and boy, it's hot out here, and whew, I'm in a trial again. But boy, you're right here next to me. Man, you're right here, and you're talking to me. Do we live out that reality in our spiritual life? Do we do that? And so I'm going to remind us, your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. What is your deepest need right now in your life? What is it? It's okay to have needs. It's okay to have needs as Christians. We have food, water, shelter, good marriage, a job, friendships, security. What is your deepest need right now? And where is that driving you to find fulfillment? Is it driving you to find fulfillment in something in the world, in the earth, in man's philosophy, or man's governance, or whatever, your job? Or is your deepest need driving you to the small, still place where God can whisper to you, you are my child, I love you, I've got you, I've got a plan for you. It's hard, this is hard, but my strength is strong in you. My spirit's with you. Elijah, he could have went off and sought the newest, best, positive book of ancient Israelites, or went and watched YouTube or something, I don't know. But he went out by himself because he knew, and he'd known from history of the Israelites, that in the desert, the Israelites met God in the desert. On their journey out of Egypt to the promised land, they encountered Yahweh. Elijah knew, even though he did it maybe not the best way, out of desperation, he knew that God would meet him. And out of wherever is your deepest need right now, God wants to meet you there. He wants to meet you there. And so what need is God using to bring you closer to him? You may see what you're going through as, oh God, why am I in this wilderness? But God is saying, hey, look past this. Look past the earth and the wind and the fire and all this that you think is going on. What is he speaking to you right now in this need of your life? And each of us come from different things in our life. And some of your need might be a level 10, or your need might be a level 1 to someone else. But whatever your need is, God wants to use that to bring you closer to him and say, hey, I'm going to show up in your life. I will speak to you. Hey, I've not abandoned you. And he also wants to remind us that you're not by yourself. By upraised hands today, how many of you are going through something right now? If you be honest, to be encouraged. The Bible says to encourage the brethren, to bear with one another. So you're not alone. Elijah thought, we know the end of chapter 19 in 1 Kings, Elijah thought he was alone. That's why he's doing this lament. Oh, woe is me. But God said, hey, bro, you're good. I speak to you, and I've spoken to 7,000 other believers. I said, faithful. And so right now, you might be in a wilderness, and God, you might feel alone, but God wants to remind you, you're not alone. There's other brothers and sisters that are going through things. And we need to all come take our need and bring it to the one who can satisfy and fulfill and heal and restore that need right now in your life. Now, if your need is something sinful, you need to confess the sin and run from that. All right? All right? We can't bring the needs and say, oh, God, I'm going to go rob a bank because I want to be rich. No, that's called sin. God's not going to honor that. But if you come and say, God, I'm struggling financially. God, I need your help. God, I want to do right. I want to give and serve and tithe. I want to help others. I want to pay my bills. God, can you help me with that? Oh, God can honor that prayer. God can show up and do some amazing things when we bring that deepest need to him as a gift and say, God, I give this back to you. God, show up in my life. Show me your strength and show me your power. Elijah needed to be reassured. He needed to be reassured. That was his greatest need, was reassurance. And in this time of the Christmas season, God sent his son Jesus, Emmanuel, to reassure us and reassure his creation that he had a plan. He was redeeming, restoring. He had a plan from the foundations of the earth for us. And today I want to encourage you and strengthen you and remind you, don't listen to the enemy's lie. Don't listen to the lie of our media, the lie of our government, the lie of whatever's speaking to you, whatever Satan's whispering in your ear or trying to shout to you. Don't listen to that. God has reassured us through his son Jesus, through the birth of his son Emmanuel, that he is God with us. And that he speaks to his people as his children. And so today, as we close, let's just pray that if you have a need today, take that to God right now. Take it to him. We're going to close. And let's just take that need to him. Or if you have a need, if you know someone that's struggling with a need, pray that God would show up in their life through the power of the Spirit and do something miraculous and remind them that he is Jehovah God, that he is the one that provides and can heal and restore. So let's pray, church. Jesus, we come before you. And God, we bring that need. God, we bring that need it's in our heart or in our mind or in our life or that physical need in our body that's driving us to the point of desperation. We bring it to you, Jesus. And Jesus, we know that you can save us. And we know that, Jesus, you are there in our deepest need. And so, God, we don't look to our hardships as that you have left us or forsaken us, because, God, we know we can't outrun your Spirit. But, God, we bring that need to you, and we say, God, show up. Do something miraculous, Jesus. Remind us that you are with us. Reassure us in your Spirit that you are the God who whispers to us, that you are there, that you're all-powerful, that you are working for our good. So, God, be with every need right now. God, we bring every need. God, maybe it's a need of our family, or a friend, or a child, or a spouse, or a coworker. God, we bring their needs even before you. God, we pray and intercede for them that, Jesus, you would reassure them and show them that, God, you are the God Almighty, the master of the universe. You're the creator of us, and that you sent your son, Jesus, to reassure us and to show us that we are not orphans and abandoned, but we are set free, children of the King, redeemed and blood-bought and paid for. And so, God, I pray that you would reassure those needs in our friends and family. And, God, you'd come and take us out of those wilderness times. If we're in a wilderness right now, Father, we ask that you would guide us by your footsteps and your paths into that next season of green pastures and green meadows and quiet streams of refreshing, a time of spiritual replenishment. God, may we take time this season to rest in you. And may you, Holy Spirit, come and restore our soul. Build us back up in the most holy faith that we can go out and tell others about that you are Emmanuel, God with us. God, be with us today. Thank you for the food we're about to eat. Thank you for the fellowship. And Jesus, may you be glorified in everything we say and do. May we do it all for you, Jesus, because you are Emmanuel, God with us. And we just say thank you. We end with thanks again. We say thank you for being with us. And God, we will praise your name again and again. In your Jesus, your strong name, we pray. Amen.